So we welcome His Holiness Bhaktiraj Swami Maharaj again for love and chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. So today's verse Maharaj is taking from Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his father from 7th canto, 8th chapter, text number 7. And there is a simultaneous those who require Kannada translation, there is a simultaneous Kannada translation also near Prabhupada. And you can tune into Radio FM also. 107.3. Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa.
Acharya Stotar Sattva. His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Ki Jai. Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri Lakshmi Narasimha Ananta Deva Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. There's no sound in this?
This is for the recording.
So you can just put it on this? Oh, I have to. You can just put this on this.
Huh?
Asha, okay. Because it interferes with seeing the book. It blocks the vision of the book. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam, Tato Jayamudiraye, Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. Text 7. Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Na Kevalam Me Bhavata Cha Rajan Sa Vai Balam Balinam Cha Aparesha Pare Avare Ami Sthira Jangamah Ye Brahma Adayaha Yena Vasham Pranitaha. Shri Prahlad Uvacha. न केवलं मे भवतश्च राजन् स वै बलं बलिनां चापरेषां परे वरे मे स्थिरजङ्गमाये ब्रह्मादयो ये नवशं प्रणीताः श्रीप्रह्लादुवाच न केवलं मे भवतश्च राजन् स वै बलं बलिनां चापरेषां परे वरे मे स्थिरजङ्गमाये ब्रह्मादयो ये नवशं प्रणीताः श्रीप्रह्लादुवाच न केवलं मे भवतश्च राजन् स वै बलं बलिनां चापरेषां परे वरे मे स्थिरजङ्गमाये ब्रह्मादयो ये नवशं प्रणीताः प्रह्लाद महाराज रिप्लाइड न नॉट केवलम ओनली मे ऑफ मी भवतः ऑफ योरसेल्फ च एंड राजन ओ ग्रेट किंग सह ही वै इंडीड बलम स्ट्रेंथ बलिनाम ऑफ द स्ट्रांग च एंड Aparesham.
Aparesham.
Of others.
Of others.
Pare. Exalted.
Exalted.
Avare.
Avare.
Subordinate.
Subordinate.
Ami.
Ami.
Those.
Those.
Sthirajangamaha. Moving or non-moving living entities. Ye.
Ye.
Who?
Who?
Brahma Adayaha.
Brahma Adayaha.
Beginning from Lord Brahma.
Beginning from Lord Brahma.
Yena.
Yena.
By whom?
By whom?
Vasham.
Vasham.
Under control.
Under control.
Pranitaha.
Pranitaha.
Brought.
Brought.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear King, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Purport. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 41, "Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shri madur jitame vava tat tat eva vakachatvam mama tejomsha sambhavam." Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. This is confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. If one sees extraordinary strength or power anywhere, it is derived from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To give an example, there are different grades of fire, but all of them derive heat and light from the sun. Similarly, all living entities, big or small, are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's only duty is to surrender, for one is a servant and cannot independently attain the position of master. One can attain the position of master only by the mercy of the master, not independently. Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. In other words, he is not very intelligent. The mudhas, the asses, who do not have this intelligence, cannot surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the subordinate position of the living entity takes millions of births, but when one is actually wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 19, "Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevah sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha." After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Prahlad Maharaj was a great soul, a Mahatma, and therefore he completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. He was confident that Krishna would give him protection under all circumstances. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. Since tomorrow is the holy day of Narasimha Chaturdashi, we will begin discussion on the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, at least a certain section of it, in preparation for tomorrow's appearance of Lord Narasimha. The background to this chapter, chapter 8, in which the Lord slays the king of the demons Hiranyakashipu, is as follows. Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, very powerful. So was his brother Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was killed by the incarnation of the Lord Varaha, and Hiranyakashipu was extremely aggrieved and angry because of that. Both he and his brother hated the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu and all his forms. And when Varaha killed Hiranyaksha, the envy and hatred and anger that Hiranyakashipu had towards the Lord increased manifold. He had four sons, and amongst them Prahlad was very, very saintly, a great devotee of the Lord, endowed with all sorts of super excellent divine qualities. As is normal, even a demoniac person has affection for his children. So Hiranyakashipu called Prahlad and made him sit on his lap and asked him what he had learned in the Gurukul. And Prahlad replied, Tat sadu manyeya suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyat asatkraha hitvatvapatam grihamandakopam vanam gato yat harimashrayeta. He said, my dear father, you are the best among the asuras. Now please know that those whose minds are absorbed in the materialistic affairs of this world, in matter, in this world, their intelligence is constantly disturbed. Sada samudvigna dhyat. Dhya means intelligence. Udvigna means disturbed. Samudvigna means completely disturbed, always disturbed. Tat sadhu manye, I think, my dear father, that for those whose minds are absorbed in this world, sada samudvigna dhyat asat grahat, because they have accepted in their life that which is not the truth. Asat. Grahat means they have accepted. Grahan. Hitvatma patam griham andhakupam. And they stay in a place that is completely devoid of spiritual culture. And their griha, their household, is like an andhakupa, a deep dark well. And they reside in that well. Therefore, it is not good to be in such a situation, and you must leave, my dear father. Go to the forest, especially forests like Vrindavan. And you do some austerity there and you worship Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu over there. So when Hiranyakashipu got this message, he was not at all pleased. On the contrary, he was extremely annoyed. But at the same time, he thought this is just a little boy. somehow something, somebody has polluted his intelligence. So he laughed it off. But he called Shanda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad and the other boys in the Gurukul, and said, "What is it that you are teaching them?" And they said, no, we have not taught him anything like this." So then Hiranyakashipu said, "All right, so take him back to the Gurukul, teach him well, make sure that no Vaishnavas come in disguise and pollute the innocent minds of these little children." So they went back. They tried to extract information from Prahlad by sweet words. When that didn't work, then by little threats, then by showing him the stick and so on. But whatever they may do, Prahlad did not reveal how it was that he got these ideas in his mind that one must surrender to Lord Vishnu. So in any case, Shanda and Amarka resumed their efforts at trying to educate Prahlad and his classmates. They were teaching mostly material subjects, politics, diplomacy, warfare and such things. And Prahlad had absolutely no interest in such things. He was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. After a certain while had elapsed, then Hiranyakashipu once more called Prahlad. And he made him sit in his lap. And with great affection, he once again asked him, "So Prahlad, now please tell me, what have you learnt in your Gurukul?" And Hiranyakashipu was probably expecting that he would give him a nice treatise on diplomacy and how we should conquer the enemies and how we should earn a lot of money and so on. But Prahlad had no such intention. On the contrary, he gave him good instructions about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And he spoke the famous verses, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam Iti Punsarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chennavalakshana, etc. Wherein he described the ninefold processes of devotional service to Lord Krishna or Vishnu. And he went on to speak a few other things as well. And when Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was enraged. This was not the first time this was happening. Second time. So this time he was furious at the teachers. What is going on here? How is it that my child is still getting polluted like this with all these ideas about worshipping Vishnu? And they still pleaded innocence in this, that it is not our fault. We are teaching him all the right things. The right things meaning the wrong things from our point of view. But we are teaching him all the right things, but somehow we don't know why. Why this Prahlad is behaving like this, so where these thoughts have come from, we have no idea. Anyway, with some threats, Hiranyakashipu sent back Shanda and Amarka. Some time elapsed, and by this time, Hiranyakashipu had realized that this boy is not going to change. Why? Because news was coming in that Prahlad had contaminated all the other boys in the Gurukul. Because he would get them all together whenever the teachers would go away for a short recess or a break, and he would speak to them about Krishna consciousness. The boys were frivolous by nature, being very young. And they would say, "This is not the age for Krishna consciousness." But Prahlad said, no, this is the age. And he would give them nice lectures on Krishna consciousness. And they would ask him, "Prahlad, where have you learnt all this from?" And Prahlad said, "I've learnt it from my guru." But they said, "Your guru and our guru are the same, Shanda and Amarka." He said, no, there's another guru, the main guru. And then he went on to describe how, when he was in his mother's womb, the great sage Narada spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to his mother and to him. Hiranyakashipu had gone for performing austerities on the Mundarachala mountain, and the demons had scattered here and there. Taking advantage of this situation, the king of the heavenly planets, Indra, he came here and kidnapped the wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadhu. Because he knew that Hiranyakashipu had become such a terror in the universe. He is the original terrorist, by the way. Terrorism is not a new thing. So the origin of terrorists is Hiranyakashipu. So he had terrorized the whole universe. And Indra was cautious. Now he is going to have a son who is in the womb of his of Hiranyakashipu's wife. So now that Hiranyakashipu is not there, let us take away his wife, and when that child is born, then we will kill him. This would be for the welfare of the world. Indra did not know that the child in the womb of Kayadhu was actually a great devotee. In any case, Narad Muni intervened at that time and told him, don't kill this child. So let Hiranyakashipu's wife be with me. So out of respect for Indra, or for Narad Muni, Indra folded his hands and departed. And then Kayadhu remained in Narad Muni's ashram. She served him with great devotion and naturally learnt many things from him. Narad Muni spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to her and to her son, who was still in the womb. And Prahlad mentioned to his friends that his mother forgot the instructions. She could not remember all that Narad Muni had said, but Prahlad remembered everything. And that is how he was able to instruct his classmates about Krishna consciousness. So when the situation reached this very critical juncture, now it was an emergency situation. So at the same time, when Shanda and Amarka realized that the situation had got out of hand, and now they had to bring it to the notice of Hiranyakashipu, so they were very afraid because they felt that the king would blame them. So they explained the whole situation to Hiranyakashipu and said, it is not our fault. We don't know what is wrong with this boy. The other boys are not like this. Somehow of his own accord, he seems to have some kind of attraction for Lord Vishnu, and we have no idea how it has happened. So having understood everything, Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Shukadeva Goswami says his body was trembling. He decided with firm determination that his son had to die. And then he was hissing like a snake trampled by under someone's foot. And he was trembling with rage and he was feeling insulted. You know, here is a great, greatly powerful person. And then his own son glorifies somebody else. So for a man with a big ego like Hiranyakashipu, this was intolerable. And not just that, Prahlad was taking shelter of the personality whom Hiranyakashipu considered his enemy, Lord Vishnu. And this Lord Vishnu had been the cause of Hiranyakashipu's brother's death, the uncle of Prahlad. And still Prahlad wanted to glorify him and worship him. So this was just beyond the tolerance of Hiranyakashipu. Meanwhile, Prahlad was standing in front of Hiranyakashipu, very peaceful, very sober, with folded hands, very pleasant face. And Prahlad, being such a small child, did not deserve to be reprimanded and to be punished and tortured. But Hiranyakashipu had made up his mind. So then he began to speak very harsh words to his son. And these are the verses preceding the verse that we are reading today. So now we have come on to chapter 8. I have summarized the contents of the previous chapters in just a few minutes. And now we are on in the beginning of chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Shri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. So Hiranyakashipu said, addressing his son. Now he is going to shower many abusive words to his son. And these words are quite colorful. Of course they are not true. But nevertheless, from Hiranyakashipu's point of view, that seems to be the reality. He Durvinita Mandatman. Oh, Durvinita. Vinita means one who is gentle, cultured, civilized. And Durvinita means one who is not gentle, who is uncultured, uncivilized. Actually, Prahlad was the most cultured and most civilized. Because one who is a pure devotee of Krishna is actually most cultured. But Hiranyakashipu was addressing him like that. Hey Durvinita, Mandatman. Mandatman. Mandatman means one who is stupid, who is foolish, whose intelligence is meager. Then he says, Kulabhedakara. You are the one who is destroying our whole dynasty. You are breaking up our dynasty. Adhama, oh the lowest amongst all humans. Stabdham, oh you are very impudent. Why impudent? Because you have dared to stand up against your own father, who is such a powerful personality that even the demigods tremble at the very mention of my name. But you are so impudent that you want to disobey my instructions, and not only that, you actually want to take shelter of my avowed enemy. Mat shasana udvrittam. Mat shasana means my instructions, my decisions, my orders. Udvrittam is going against. So you dare to go against my instructions. Neshe tvadya yamakshayam. And now I am going to bring you to the abode of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. So Hiranyakashipu is now threatening Prahlad, and he is saying, I am going to kill you. Sending you to the abode of Yama is a poetic way of saying, I am going to kill you. Like in devotee language also, we use things like, he left his body. Or even for other things, let's say, if someone murders somebody, you say, he gave him another body. Which means he enables. These are little euphemistic ways of saying that he killed somebody. Yes? So here also he's saying, I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented on this. Now, in many places, there are in the scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are instances where demons, and in some cases, devotees, who develop the consciousness of demons, criticize Krishna. Like for example, Jarasandha criticized Krishna with many harsh words, abused him. Similarly, Indra, just before the lifting of the Govardhan hill by Krishna in Vrindavan, he did not understand the glories of Krishna. So he also used many harsh words against Krishna. Similarly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also we find numerous instances of such things. And here, Hiranyakashipu has used such harsh words. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries on these sections of the Bhagavatam, what he says is that actually even though Hiranyakashipu spoke like that, but Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, being very kind, would interpret these words in a different way, to give an opposite meaning. Because you see, the word Sanskrit, the Sanskrit language is such a flexible language that you can interpret words differently. This is not just a plus point, but sometimes it can be a minus point also. Because many people interpret the very simple and straightforward words of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in a different way, and give all sorts of imaginary interpretations to it and change the meaning of the scripture entirely. But in any case, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, would probably take these words in a different way interpret them in her own way and then offer it to Krishna as words of praise, not words of abuse. So those words of praise are turned around by interpreting it slightly differently so that the meanings of those words become words of praise rather than words of blame or criticism. So the first one, Durvinita. So according to Goddess Saraswati, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the word duha, durvinit, duh vinit, it refers to the material world, as Krishna says, dukkhalayam. Because this material world is dukkhalayam, so the word duha refers to the material world. Vi means vishesh, specifically, and nita means to be brought in. So durvinita, as far as Mother Saraswati is concerned, means that Prahlad has been specifically brought into the material world from the spiritual world for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. So Hiranyakashipu intended it to be one who is not gentle, one who is not cultured, and so on. But this is the meaning Saraswati Devi is giving. And then the next one, he says manda. Now the word manda means actually very slow, very intelligent, dull-headed, etc. So Mother Saraswati says that actually manda here, mandatman, means that Prahlad is a guide for all the mandas in this world, for all the stupid people, for all the foolish people in this world. So Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal guide for them because he is such an exalted devotee. Kulabhedakara and Adhama, so although they are separate terms, but now Mother Saraswati combines them. Kulabhedakara Adhama. And she says that Prahlad made great personalities who established big, big families seem insignificant. So people generally like to establish their own position as being very high. They want to establish their greatness by establishing their own dynasties. And they want their name to be immortalized in human history. So they want that my dynasty should come after me, they should be named after me, like that. So Prahlad is the one who has diminished greatly or rendered insignificant all these big, big dynasty makers. Because all these dynasty makers come and go. They're all materialistic. But a great devotee like Prahlad, his name and fame remains forever. Who remembers all the great dynasties that have happened in human history for millions of years? But even though Prahlad's incident happened many millions of years ago, we all remember Prahlad very clearly. Every child in India knows about Prahlad. So who is more famous? A simple boy like Prahlad at the age of 5 has, in terms of fame and name and recognition and reputation, defeated even the big, big dynasty makers. Therefore, he is Kulabheda Karathama. And then as far as Tabdham is concerned, means, literally it means obstinate, impudent. But from Mother Saraswati's point of view, Tabdham means that Prahlad does not heed the instructions of the asuras. So one has to be stubborn to reject the teachings or the opinions of materialistic people. I'm sure we all have experience that when we take to Krishna consciousness, there are many people who will give us a lot of advice that is against Krishna consciousness. And they will try to take us on the materialistic path and try to tell us why our taking shelter of Krishna is wrong. After all, you see, so many things cost in this world, but advice is free. So you can give advice freely to anybody. It doesn't cost you anything to give advice to people. So people give advice, why are you doing this Krishna bhakti? This is not the age to do it. This is not the time to do it. You are doing too much of all this. And why Krishna? Why not this? Why not that? We have so many people coming and saying so many things. So much materialistic propaganda going on all over the world. So the devotee has to be obstinate. Has to be stubborn that I will not leave Krishna consciousness. Whatever may be the opinions of the world, but I will not listen to these opinions because I am convinced that Krishna consciousness is the ultimate process of life. It is for one's complete welfare. Mat shasana udvrittam. Similarly, Prahlad, in that mood of being impudent to the advice of demoniac people, Prahlad is also not obeying his father. Yamakshayam, that means that every conditioned soul is under the control of Yamaraj. But Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Prahlad Maharaj his deliverer, for Prahlad would stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death. So in this way, Mother Saraswati has interpreted these words in such a way that now she can take Hiranyakashipu's abusive words and offer them to Prahlad and Krishna, saying, this is actually my understanding of the meaning. And then he continues, Hiranyakashipu, in his fit of anger. Kruddhasya yasya kampante trayo lokaha saheshwaraha tasya me bhitavan moodha shasanam kim balo tyagaha. My dear Prahlad, not so dear Prahlad now. My son Prahlad, Prabhupada translates that by saying, my son Prahlad, you are a rascal. You know that when I'm angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble. Kruddhasya, when I become angry. Yasya kampante, tremble. Who trembles? Trayo loka, the three worlds. Saha Ishwaraha, along with their Ishwaras, their leaders, because each planet has its own predominating deity or the king or someone ruling it. So when I get angry, all the three worlds, including their leaders, the demigods, everyone, kampante, they tremble out of fear. Tasya me abhitavan mudha. But then, you are fearless. You are not afraid of me. You are such a foolish person that you are not afraid of me. Tasya me abhitavan. Abhitavat means without fear. Shasanam kim, about shasanam, my instructions, you don't follow my instructions. Kim balo, where are you getting this strength to disobey my instructions? When even the great demigods in the higher planets don't have the courage, the guts to oppose me, and you are my son, you are only 5-year-old boy, from where have you got this courage and this strength to dare to oppose my instructions and orders to you? Hiranyakashipu is truly mystified. He doesn't know, how is this child getting this power? From where is he getting it? It is something unprecedented. Hiranyakashipu had never dreamt that such a thing could happen. When we speak of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, I often mention that this is a lesson to all grihasthas about why children exist in this world. Children exist in this world to diminish the ego of the parents, isn't it? Because parents have so many dreams and so many ideas and so many thoughts and plans and instructions, and the children have their own ideas and their own plans, and they will do what they want to do. So don't be, if you're a grihastha who has some difficulty like this, don't be dismayed. Don't be very much morose, because it happened even to powerful people like Hiranyakashipu. We are not that powerful like Hiranyakashipu. If it could happen to him, what about us as ordinary human beings of this Kali Yuga on the earth planet? Hiranyakashipu could control practically the whole universe, and still he could not control his 5-year-old son. And this was what was causing extreme frustration to Hiranyakashipu. Can you imagine poor Hiranyakashipu? How frustrating it must have been. Here is the one who is controlling the whole universe, But his own son, just 5 years old, is not listening to him and surrendering to his enemy. He's a traitor. Now this is completely intolerable. And Hiranyakashipu is not a saintly person that he would just say, Krishna's arrangement, we'll accept it. He was not like that. So we can just sympathize with the anger that Hiranyakashipu had. Now, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable. A devotee never claims to be very powerful himself. Instead, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, being confident that in all dangerous situations, Krishna will protect his devotee. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashyati. As Krishna declares in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, ask Arjuna to declare. Arjuna, declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. So one of the symptoms of surrender to Krishna is rakshishyati iti vishvaso. To have that vishvas or that faith that Krishna will protect me. Avashya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will definitely protect me. Of course, that protection may not always be at a physical level or even at a mental level, although that may sometimes happen, but it is not necessary. Krishna's ultimate protection is at the spiritual level. Because ultimately, you see, this body has to perish one day or the other. And then we get another body and another body. So protection of something that is anyway doomed to destruction is not something that is really the topic of protection. Although sometimes he does that, like he did for Draupadi, he did for Prahlad as well. He protected him from death when he was being attacked by the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu and so on. But real protection comes in Krishna's protecting our consciousness, our devotion to him. So regardless of whatever difficult circumstances we are passing through, regardless of the trials and tribulations that we are going, however intolerable these situations may be, we should have faith that Krishna is protecting my soul. Whatever is happening in this life to my body, to my mind, to my circumstances around me are a result of my past karma. But be that as it may, now my goal of life is to surrender to Krishna, and I am preparing a glorious future for myself where I will join Krishna in the spiritual world and be with him eternally, never to suffer again with birth, death, old age and disease. So the faith of the devotee is about faith in Krishna's protection for his or her devotional consciousness. And when the devotee has such faith, even when there are difficulties in the body and the mind and the surrounding situation, the devotee remains calm, remains happy, remains blissful. You see, there is nothing more peace-giving. There is nothing that can give more solace to the heart than this faith in Krishna. So all of us are troubled in this material world. That is the nature of this material world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So everybody is troubled. Some may be more troubled than others. Some may be much more troubled than others. But the point is, everybody is troubled. You can't escape it in this world. So what is the real antidote for this suffering? You see, physically whatever is happening in the world. In the environment, whatever is happening to a large degree. We can't control what is happening around us. But what we can control is our consciousness. And if we absorb our mind in Krishna, chanting his name, relishing his messages and his pastimes, serving his deities, so on, that will give us such an enormous sense of inner peace. In fact, it will give us so much joy that we will be able to transcend, not just tolerate, but transcend whatever sufferings that our destiny may have brought into our life presently. This is how great devotees of Krishna have demonstrated by their own example. The idea of being happy even in the midst of so many difficulties. So Krishna puts all his devotees in difficulty. It is not that only as neophyte devotees we are put into difficulty. If you look at all the great devotees, every single one of them practically had enormous difficulties in their life. Prahlad, since we are speaking of Prahlad, can you mention some of the things that happened to Prahlad? What did Hiranyakashipu attempt to do? He tried to poison Prahlad, then? He tried to throw him in a pot of boiling oil. He threw him from the top of a cliff. He put him in a pit of poisonous snakes. He tried to crush him under the feet of mad, intoxicated elephants. He attacked him with so many weapons. And he tried to burn him in the fire. But do what he may, Prahlad was not disturbed. Prahlad remained focused on Krishna. That is what is mentioned by Shukadev Goswami. In the midst of all this, Prahlad's consciousness didn't change. And therefore he remained peaceful with the knowledge, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to destroy someone, who can protect him? If Krishna wants to protect someone, who can destroy him? Then look at the Pandavas. What kind of difficulties they had? Their wife was humiliated like that in front of everybody. And they were all powerful warriors. It's not that they were incapable of taking suitable retaliatory action or protective action. But they were bound by so many norms of those days. And then the whole kingdom was taken away from them. They had to live in the forest. They were used to living in palaces, but now they had to go to the forest and eat roots and berries. And they had to encounter so many rakshasas and asuras, and eventually they had to fight a huge battle. And they lost all their relatives, their elders, their respectable, loved elders. Such a traumatic life they had. Imagine the position of Kunti Devi. So all these great devotees have gone through. So why does Krishna put his devotees into such a situation? Just to teach us that when we are also put into difficulty, then we should remember these great devotees and the tribulations that they went through. And it will give us some solace that yes, my difficulties may not go away just by remembering Krishna, but Krishna will give me the power and the wisdom and the strength to tolerate these difficulties and to transcend them, and in fact to be actually blissful in the midst of all these difficulties. It's not that a devotee who is in pain doesn't feel pain. Yes, they feel pain. But they are able to relish Krishna even in the midst of that pain, and they feel a sense of happiness. There are many devotees who have passed away due to cancer and various other ailments. And many of them are also not sannyasis, or many of them are not even long time devotees. But so many of them passed away in such an exemplary manner that books can be written about them. They are very inspirational stories for us of how, despite the physical pain that was racking their body, you know, sometimes cancer can be very painful, despite all the pain relieving medicines that may be given. And how, despite their body being racked with pain, they remained cheerful and smiling. And when devotees would visit them, they were astonished to see their cheerful, smiling faces, and they were always wanting to hear about Krishna. So the devotees would go to them and read about Krishna. And this continued for so many days till eventually the devotee left the body. Even in cases of terminal illnesses. So for those situations where we are not in a terminal stage, but we are going through difficulties, these are inspirational stories for us of ordinary men and women, ordinary devotees. So in any case, Prahlad Maharaj is a great devotee. So because he is surrendered to Krishna, therefore he derives tremendous strength from that surrender and the faith. Now, after hearing these words, Prahlad will now begin to speak once again. And he speaks the verse that we just discussed today. I'll read the translation again. My dear King, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na kevalam me. Not just my strength, my dear father. You are asking me where have I got my strength from? Not just my strength, my dear father. Bhavataha. Even your strength. Savai balam balinam. In fact, your strength also comes from the same source from which my strength comes. And what to speak of just you and me? The strength of everyone in this creation, whether that person is superior or inferior, powerful or weak, all the way up to Brahma, the creator of this universe, the strength of everyone comes from the Supreme Lord, from the one source, the original reservoir of all strength. So this is a very important point. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Meaning that he is the storehouse, the unlimited storehouse of all intelligence. And that intelligence is granted to all the different living entities in different quantities and qualities according to their karma. So therefore someone is a genius, someone is very dull-headed. But even the dull-headed person has some intelligence. It's not that he's totally zero in intelligence. So even that intelligence, however little it may be, is coming from Krishna. And the intelligence of someone who has a very, very high IQ, is a genius, that intelligence also comes from Krishna. The intelligence of every living entity who has intelligence in between these two extremes is also coming from Krishna. The intelligence that every one of us has is coming from Krishna. It is not our intelligence. So, in the process of creation of all the living entities in this world, Krishna, who is the original reservoir of all qualities, of all attributes, of all power, he distributes this power and intelligence, etc., to all the living entities. But we must remember that when Krishna distributes this, it doesn't mean that his power diminishes. Om Purnamadha Purnam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. The Lord is complete and perfect, and all the emanations from him are also complete and perfect, and even though so many complete wholes emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. There is no diminution, there is no reduction in his power or intelligence because he has distributed this. Let's say I have 10 lakh rupees. Well, I don't, I'm just giving an example. If I have 10 lakh rupees and I give each of you 50,000, 50,000, 50,000, at the end of the distribution I have nothing left with me. So when we say that Krishna distributes the intelligence and power amongst everybody, it doesn't mean that Krishna loses all that power and intelligence. In fact, his power, intelligence, etc. remains infinite. But whatever little infinitesimal, tiny little power, intelligence, etc. that the living entities have is coming from Krishna. Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. Similarly, all the prowess, the power that people have is coming from Krishna. I am the prowess of the powerful, Krishna says. He is also the prowess of those who are not powerful. Just as Krishna is also the intelligence of those who are not intelligent. They have little intelligence. But the point is that we marvel at people who are very intelligent. We appreciate people who are very powerful. So when we look at such people who exhibit extraordinary amounts of intelligence and power relative to other human beings, instead of thinking how great they are, we should think how great is Krishna. That this power, this intelligence is actually coming from Krishna. Similarly, he says, Balam Balavatam Chaham. So all the strength is coming from me. I am the strength of the strong. So Hiranyakashipu is extremely strong. So where is his strength coming from? From Krishna. It is all borrowed strength. There is no point in being proud of one's qualities, one's attributes, because all these attributes rest upon borrowing. Suppose I lend you 1 crore rupees, I will not, but I'm just again saying. Suppose I lend you 1 crore rupees, and then you go around saying, see, I'm so rich, I have 1 crore rupees. So what will you reply to him? What will you say? Well, it's not your money. Why are you boasting so much? It's not your money. It's borrowed. Somebody else has given it to you as a loan. So it's not your property that you should be boasting about it. So similarly, all this, whatever little or more strength we have, whatever little or more intelligence and capability and so on that we have, is all borrowed. It is not ours to be proud of. It is coming from the original reservoir of all these attributes and qualities, that is Krishna. And everybody's strength, right from Brahma down to the tiny insignificant ant or the germ, has some abilities. All of them are received by these living entities only by the grace of Krishna. So considering that it is all Krishna's strength or intelligence, etc., that people have, the conclusion that is very important for us to understand is that it doesn't matter how much strength you have, more or less. It doesn't matter how much intelligence you have, more or less. It doesn't matter how much ability you have, more or less. What matters is, are you using every bit of what you have in Krishna's service? If you have less and you use 100% of it, that is more glorious than having a lot more but using only 1% of it in Krishna's service. So in Krishna's eyes, the person who has less intelligence but is using whatever little he or she has for Krishna's service is more glorious than a genius who has a 200 IQ but uses his intelligence only to doubt Krishna. Or maybe a little bit of service to Krishna. You all remember the story of the squirrel and Hanuman, both of whom were trying to build the bridge across the sea. When Lord Ram was standing there trying to reach Lanka, the Vanara Sena, the members of the and monkey army, were bringing huge rocks and boulders and throwing them into the sea, and miraculously by the power of Lord Ram, these stones were floating on the water. And some of the more bigger and more powerful monkeys like Hanuman were actually bringing entire mountains and throwing them into the sea. On the other hand, there was this little squirrel who was just flicking little specks of dust, taking it one grain of dust and putting it there in the water, trying to help in building the bridge. So Hanuman may have smiled at seeing this squirrel. And then Lord Ram brought Hanuman and the squirrel together and said, actually, both of you are very dear to me. It's not that because Hanuman, you are doing so much service that you're lifting huge mountains and bringing them here, that you are more dear to me than the squirrel who's only bringing a little speck of dirt. Why is that? Because you are using 100% of your strength and the squirrel is using 100% of its strength. Your strength is not yours, it is coming from me. The squirrel's strength is not the squirrel's, it is also coming from me. So therefore, from this story we can learn the lesson. Any case, whatever we have or don't have is by the grace of Krishna. So whatever we have, we should use it in Krishna's service. The extent to which we do that and the devoted heart with which we do that actually pleases Krishna more than anything else. So we should not become morose thinking, oh, just see, this person is singing kirtan so nicely, I can't sing like that. This person learns to decorate the deity so nicely, I can't decorate, I don't have that artistic bent of mind. Or this person can remember so many shlokas, I can't even remember one shloka. This person cooks so nicely for Krishna, I can't cook like that. This person gives such nice lectures about Krishna, I can't speak like that. So we should not become morose. Krishna is not looking at how talented and how expert you are in different things. Although whatever expertise we have, we should use it to our full capacity in Krishna's service. But if Krishna has not given us that kind of expertise in a particular area, it doesn't matter. Whatever we have, we should use to the fullest extent in Krishna's service. That is the crux of devotional service. Then Krishna will be very happy and our life will be successful. So Hiranyakashipu had so much power, but he wasted it. And Prahlad was only a small boy compared to Hiranyakashipu. From a material point of view, what power did he have? But actually, he became more powerful than Hiranyakashipu because of his surrender to Krishna. When he surrendered to Krishna, then automatically he got spiritual power. That spiritual power is even greater than material power. So we need not worry about material abilities. Let us focus on the ultimate spiritual quality, which is the quality of devotion and surrender to Krishna. That will be the perfection of life. And this is the lesson that we can learn from this particular verse that Prahlad Maharaj speaks to Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. So I'm sorry I went on and on and on and on. It was went very long. So we'll stop here. I think today is a working day. Many of you have to go to work. So we will stop here. If you have any questions, etc., we may consider them in the evening today. After the class. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Sri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Ananta Dev ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.
Krishna,